James chapter number 4, verse 14. You know, it's a beautiful day. I was talking to some of the kids over at the college yesterday, and the gospel track, to get a conversation going on the outside, it said this. It said, I'm not afraid to die. And I know it was a beautiful day. All the kids are coming back to college. They're light. They're having friends. They've got zero homework. They're going to carnivals and catching up. And first time some of them have been away from home. And there I am standing with a very serious thought. And trying to transition and introduce them and hear where they're from and introduce myself and then quickly segue to, hey, can you say this truthfully? You're not afraid to die. I know today, Sunday morning, beautiful day, haven't had work maybe in a day or so, and maybe you're on vacation, maybe you're just going into vacation, the sun is shining, it's perfect Western New York weather, the sun is shining, that makes it perfect. The humidity is low. There's no snow to shovel. And then all of a sudden we read James 4:14. And all of a sudden things get a little bit serious. James 4:14 says this, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? That's a great question. What's your life about? You've lived a number of years, whether it's 15 or 55 or somewhere in between or even somewhere after. Hey, what has your life been? Has it been what you had hoped? Has God gotten the glory? As a young person, it's tough to not look out and go, I've got plenty of time. Many a times I ask my children, the younger ones, can you do this chore? Can you get this done? Oh, Dad, I got time. I'll do it later. No, no. No, do it now. And here we are reminded of the frailty of our life. What does it say? It equates our life to what? It's not the sequoia trees of California. It says, it is even a vapor. I don't know the time, the scientific speed of vapor for when it becomes solid to gas, but we get the idea. God reminds us in this passage that your life, hey, you can't talk about tomorrow. Why? Because tomorrow isn't necessarily promised. You've got now. And your life is but a vapor. It goes on to describe the part of the vapor. I say, what does that mean? Does that mean I'm to, you know, the Bible tells me to be salt and light? Does that mean I'm, as a vapor, I'm to bring water? No, it's equating the time period that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage and thank you for this sober reminder of what our life is. We are just here for a moment. God, for your honor and glory, may we make our moment count. Lord, I pray you'd help us to see the urgency of living for you today. Lord, stir in our hearts, challenge us, encourage us here through your word. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I know maybe you just thought, hey, it's going to Sunday morning, a light thought, new Sunday school classes, but this is a sobering thought. It's a challenge to us. This is not to put us, incapacitate us with grief or sorrow or distraction and say, I've wasted my life and therefore I've ruined it. My life, when I look back on my life, I'm disappointed. It's filled with heartache and sorrow and I've wasted so much time. May I use this passage this morning to encourage you to finish well. Because you don't have much more time. Say, oh, no, I'm 13. I have all the time in the world. I thought that once. It does go by quickly. Just a week ago, we were sitting in this room. And man, here we are again. 168 hours have passed. What'd you do? See how quick it goes? Facebook, not good for much, but every now and then it reminds me of where I was a year, 5 years ago, 7 years ago. Hey, remember this picture? 1 year ago, we were in Africa. How is that possible? I just got back. Mrs. Rice hasn't even finished unpacking yet. Doesn't it go quick? Hey, your life's a vapor. What does that mean? Make every moment count for the Lord. 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter 1, 24. What are you going to do with your time? What are you going to do with your moment? Well, I'm going to go and get the best that this world has to offer. You're wasting your time. 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse 24. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. We love flowers. We enjoy them, but they're timely. Bible reminds us the grass withereth and the flower thereof falleth away. He says, your life's like the grass. And it's for a little while and then it's gone. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. Hey, there's been a message preached 400 years ago. If I said a name, unless they did something marvelous, it was just another name in this world. But 400 years ago, the Word of God was powerful, and that thing will endure forever. You and I, we'll come and go. But the gospel has been preached for the last 2,000 years and will continue. Hey, let us remember that our life is but a vapor. It is as the grass and the flower that grows just for a moment and then is gone. Hey, make your moment count. Consider the frailty of this life. Psalm 102, verse 3. I'll read you these verses. For my days are consumed like smoke. At our house, we live kind of in the country, and we're right on County Line Road there, and we can, I don't know if we're allowed to, but we have sometimes big bonfires, and we collect wood from the just trees that fall, or branches, or things that we just, if it's burnable, it goes in the wood pile. And a couple times a year, when that thing gets big, we light that up, and those flames get tall, and that smoke is like that vapor. It's billowing, but it's gone so quick. That's what the Bible tells us our life is like. It's like the grass, that it's great for a little while, but then it's gone. It's like the vapor just for a moment. It's like the smoke just going to heaven. It's here and then it's gone. Say, I'm so discouraged. Well, the only reason you have maybe discouragement because you've maybe looked back and wasted some time. Don't waste the rest of your time. Job 14, verse 1 and 2. Man is born of a woman, is of few days and full of trouble. Say, that's my life. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Again, the Bible reminds us over and over again, this temporary life is extremely temporary. Now, God has promised us something, eternal life. If we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we take our last breath here, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord Jesus Christ. We will live for eternity, but the opportunity to impact eternity will be gone. Brother Hilliard, there are no gospel tracts in heaven anymore. There is no time to witness anymore. The time to live for the Lord is right now. Right now. If I can encourage you to use your life, your moments, and get a good visualization of what your life is. Say, oh, I've got all this time. You don't. Make every moment count number 1, 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Whereas ye know not what shall be in the morrow. Hey, you got plans tomorrow. Tonight Joe gets in at 12:30 at night. Man, he was supposed to get in last night. That flights all got messed up. And so I got to pick my son up at the city or in the greater Rochester International Frederick Douglass Airport, where I say the name is larger than the airport, but it's we go over there. That's the plan. But that was the plan last night, too. Hey, plans change. No, I know exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to go here, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to... I had an uncle that had his life all planned out. And then when he was going for that that training class, that job that he had set his whole life up for, and this was going to be... He got really sick and missed out on that. Changed the course of his life. We can't boast of tomorrow. You do not know what's going to happen today. So, no, I got plans. We got a roast in the oven. We're going to cook hot dogs. We got Labor Day picnic next week, and we got things. The Bible reminds us we don't control tomorrow. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse 1, we then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Say, I'll get saved later. I'll put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ later. No, the Bible warns us and says, no, you need to make that decision today. Say, why is that? Because accidents happen. We don't know. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to remind you the frailty of life. And it goes much faster. Much faster. We all know somebody who we would say left this earth much sooner than they should have. My mom passed away young. My best friend passed away young. Her pastor. Say, you don't got tomorrow. You might not. I'm still working through some things. I'm still thinking about some things. Today would be the best day to get saved. Because you don't know what tomorrow is. Because your life is but a vapor. Luke chapter number 19, look at this. Luke 19. Verse 1, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Nicodemus, one of my favorite characters in the scriptures, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. I can identify. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Look at what it says. For today I must abide at thy house. I wonder who the Lord wants to have a real relationship with. It's not about keeping a set of rules. It's about knowing Jesus. You know what he wants? He wants to come to your house. He wants to change your life. He wants to change your eternity. Hey, make your life count. Your life is a vapor. Number one, today's the day of salvation. Do not put that off. If you don't know for sure where you're going to spend eternity, if I asked you that question, I was talking to some young people at the college, three young athletes, you know, the little intimidating, Zeke. There I am, and they were the cool kids. I was never part of that crowd. And they're, you know, 6 inches taller than me, and they I don't know. it's just intimidating for me, you know? They got the cool shoes and all of it. And I'm like, hey guys. And I start talking to them a little bit about the Lord. Start telling them about Christ. I said, it's more important than anything that you know Jesus. They said, absolutely. I said, do you know that? And I asked them that question. I said, where are you going to spend eternity? I said, you know what I get as a lot of times as a pastor? Well, I hope I'm going to heaven. And I showed them 1 John chapter number 5. In verse 13, I said, look, it says that you can know for sure. I say, they were very polite. They said, sir, we believe that. Scholarly athletes that love Jesus. How about that, Amaris? Yeah. There you go. Man, can I ask you, do you know for sure? Say, how can you know? The Bible tells you that you can know. There's a lot of things I don't know. I don't know how football season's going to go. I don't know what the weather's going to be tomorrow. If you told me, Zeke, tomorrow it's going to snow, I'd partially believe you. Because I lived in Rochester most of my life. But the Lord Jesus Christ, I know He's my Savior. I know where I'll spend eternity. He came to my house. And He makes an abide. He abides with me. I spend time with Him every day. Amen. See, what's He look like? Does He have... No, it's not like that. Hey, make today count. Number one, day of salvation. Number two, James chapter number 5. James 5. In verse 7 it says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Look at verse 9. Grudge not one against another. Brethren, lest ye be condemned, behold, the judge standeth before the door. So what does that mean? What are you talking about? Hey, your life is a vapor. Get saved today. Number two, grudge not your... Make amends. If things aren't right with you and somebody, or even if you are a Christian and you know for sure, but things aren't right with you and God, fix that. There's many a people that wish that they could just have one more conversation with mom or dad or brother or sister or friend or loved one and try a fellow Christian and neighbor and fix the wrongdoing. It was a misunderstanding. But they let too much time go. And now they can't. Bible says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Hey, stop. One of the heaviest burdens that you will carry is the burden of unforgiveness. You weren't made to carry that. And life is way too short to carry such a heavy burden. Get right. Make the phone call. Write the letter. Make amends. Grudge not one against another. Regret's a tough thing to live with. Say, well, they didn't accept my forgiveness. You've done everything you can. And pillow your head in peace, knowing that you've done everything you can, even if it's not reciprocated. But I'll tell you, many relationships were just hanging on by a thread. And if one person would have just said something, it could have been fixed. Because the other party wanted to fix it, but then, hey, be the one that has a little bit of courage and humility and meekness and all of that. I've spoken to some people, haven't spoken to my brother in 10 years. How is that? What's the problem? Honestly, Pastor, I don't even remember. Make amends. Why? Because it could be over so quick. It's not a burden worth carrying. You don't have to. You weren't made to. The Bible tells us to cast all our care. And that stuff weighs you down. Make amends. Number three, live graciously. In Psalm 103 and verse 8, it tells us that the Lord is merciful and gracious, and he defines what gracious means: slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. If you're close by, 1 Peter chapter number 4. Number 1, get saved today. Number 2, make amends. Number 3, live graciously. See, that word grace is such an abstract, large thought. Like, I don't even know how to put parameters and sides on that. Like, what does that even look like? Sure, I have a shirt, actually, that says live graciously, but I don't even know where to begin. Well, the Lord defined it. Be slow to anger. 1 Peter chapter number 4 and verse 7, it says, but the end of all things is at hand. Hey, remember that. Your life is a vapor. Hey, you're close. You're one day closer today than you were yesterday to meeting Jesus. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. He wants us to live graciously towards one another. In Colossians 3:14, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. So are you living graciously? What does that mean? Are you slow to anger? Are your words kind words? You know what? When I get older, I'll be nicer. No, that doesn't happen. If you're a grouch young, you'll be a grouch old. You'll just care a lot less. Young people at least have a little bit of a filter. So are you living graciously today? Are your words pleasant words? Hey, you got one shot at this life. Say, that's 75 years, 80 years. You don't know. This could be your last year. And you come back next year and say, see, I made it. Okay, well, it's still but a vapor in the grand scheme of things. I promise you, you won't be disappointed if you live graciously. I didn't know I was going to live this long. I remember talking to Pastor Huber's dad, Frank. His later years, he got big. And he told me and Phil, he was sitting on the tractor, and he said, had I known I'd live this long, I would have taken better care of myself. No one living graciously says, another year of being gracious. I wish I would have known that I was going to live this long and I wouldn't be so pleasant to everybody. No one says that. Another year wasted on charity and kindness and gentleness. No one says that. You'll say, I wish I would have done that sooner. Live graciously. I lost number. 1, 2, 3. Points have like A, B, and C, so it's a little harder. Oh, yes. The fourth letter of the alphabet, D. Get saved today. Make amends. Live graciously. Give generously. Now, normally we'll think time, talent, and treasure, and I understand that. Galatians 6:10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Yes, our time, Romans chapter number 12. Look there. Know what relationships require? Time. Time. Romans 12, 15 says, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. You know what that means? You're going to have to invest some time into some people. That when they have a victory, well, you'll be there to rejoice with them. When they're going through a hard time, hey, that takes time to unpack comforts. Sometimes just to listen. That takes some time. Not only our time should we give away. You ever hear this? Well, I'm going to take this time for me. I need me time. I understand the premise behind it. I need to recover. There's a recovery time. I understand having downtime, a time of rest. That is important. If you just burn the candle, as some say, at both ends, you're going to get worn out, Benjamin. And I think it's wise to get good rest and take good care of yourself and you know, get away a little bit. But if your whole life just revolves around you time, and if you constantly ask the question, well, why would I do that? Because that doesn't benefit me. You are not living generously. You are not giving generously. You're self-consumed. You will not be the one sitting next to the one as they rejoice over victories that they've had in Christ. You will not be there when weeping with those that are going through a hard time. Why? Because you're self-consumed. Giving is not just about money. It's about who you are. Yes, talents. We have some very talented and blessed people here. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. And we're almost done. What every church member loves to hear. We're almost done. But I want you to evaluate your life concerning the things of God. Hey, you get one chance at this thing. There's no such thing as reincarnation. This is it. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, in verse 24, it says, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Not only should we give generously of our time, but also of our talents. And maybe God has given you a talent. An ability to care for one another, an ability to minister to one another. Maybe you're a good teacher. Why wait? What gifts have God given you to help the body? Your time, your talents, and then, yes, treasure. On the way in, there's a little wooden box there with tithe envelopes, and I believe God blesses a cheerful giver. That's what it says. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, it tells us to give to the work of the Lord. By definition, tithe means a tenth. I believe that's the beginning. If this life is all about you, then you will spend all of your time on you. You will not do anything for anybody else. You'll ask the question, how does this benefit me? And all of your earthly treasure will be spent on you. And yes, you can do that. And yes, all of that will end when you take your last breath. But the Bible tells us we can store up treasure in heaven on the other side. And when we take our time, our talent, and our treasure, and we invest it in the things of God, you know what we're doing? We're ensuring that there's something good on the other side. The greatest thing that we can give generously is the gospel. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and under the uttermost part of the earth. In Matthew 5:16, he tells us, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Hey, it's one thing to acknowledge good character, but does God get glory from that? Oh, thank you so much, good worker. You came to work on time. Well, let me tell you why that is. Because I'm not just working for you, I'm working for God Himself. And although you're my boss, my Bible teaches me that I'm to treat you. Does God get glory from your good actions? Hey, people recognize good behavior, but does God get glory from that? Do you testify of why you do what you do? Are you a witness? When was the last time you took a gospel tract out of your pocket? When was the last time you told someone about Jesus? You know what the devil would love for you to do? Just go sleep on that verse. No. That's for somebody else. That's for later. You're busy. No. You got one shot. This is it. This is all there is. And then eternity. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. 100 years from now, I know this, none of us will be here. I saw Grandma Hartman in the parking lot of Walmart this week. She was a little in the valley. And we mentioned, hey, you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ could come back at any time. And what do we say? We should live like that today. Make today count for the Lord. Well, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to chase my dreams and I'm going to go. How about you just serve Jesus? I'm telling you, you want the adventure of a lifetime? Try faith. Mountains move. People walk on water. Dead come to life. Dead bones start walking around. Victory is had. Oh no, I need an education. You need the Lord Jesus Christ today. You know what every family here needs at their house? Luke 19, Jesus. Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. See, I didn't start off good. Finish well. Finish well. So I've made a mess. You want to talk about regret? I got a laundry list. I was the one that people would pray that their kids wouldn't hang out with. Well, finish well. So I've been backslidden. I know it's right. I've grown up in the church. I know what has been right all my life, and I've walked away. Well, then use today and get back. And stop wasting your time. Because it's not long. Faithful. Faithful to the Lord. Faithful to your family. Faithful to the church. Hey, this isn't Rotary. This isn't Lions Club. This isn't just somewhere where we all hang out together on a weekly basis. This is where we worship and honor and glorify the Lord with our life. This is where we're part of the body of Christ and trying to make an impact collectively for the cause of Christ together. That's what the church is, a called out assembly. You're not here by accident. You're part of something great. That the Bible says that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. That's bigger than any one of us. You know what? If the Lord tarries, the cause of Christ will continue with or without you. Say, I don't like how that thought. Well, that's true. 100 years ago it was going. 100 years from now, barring the Lord's return, it will continue. Let's make an impact on eternity with our life, because it's almost over. It's almost over. Let's all stand. If you're here today and you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, can I tell you today is the day? Say, no, no, I'll do it tomorrow. Do not do it tomorrow. Hey, if the Lord is pulling at your heart and the Holy Spirit is working inside your heart today, today. Maybe there's someone you need to make amends with. Maybe you're carrying a burden that you shouldn't be carrying. Say, God, I am going to need your help. Well, in a moment, we're going to open up the altars, and maybe you could come and talk to the Lord. Maybe you've had a hard time living graciously. That your words have not been kind. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb. Maybe you have a hard time being charitable and kind and loving towards others. Maybe you're living just for yourself. You know, for young people, that's an easy thing. It's the trap of the devil. It's what every guidance counselor asks a kid. Hey, what do you want to do? Where do you see yourself in 5 years? I don't know, wherever God wants to do with me. Are you giving generously of your time, talent, and treasure for the Lord? Maybe you're up in years. Maybe you've had a hard go, and hey, I want to finish well. I want to say at the end, I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. Listen now, I have kept the faith. Be faithful to the Lord. In a moment, we will play the music. I invite you to come forward. Whatever it is that the Lord touched your heart about. If you want to get saved, just raise your hand, come up here. If you're a lady, I'll pair you up with a lady. If you're a gentleman, I'll pair you up with a gentleman. Let someone show you from the Scriptures what it means to be a child of God. To have your sins forgiven. You can't get rid of them on your own. Not at all. Heavenly Father, I ask that you bless this time of invitation. Lord, help us to be reminded of how short this life is. And God, that we would use every moment we can for your honor and glory. Lord, forgive us for where we fall short. Bless this time of invitation now. In Jesus' name, amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here today? What has the Lord touched your heart about? What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. Hey, maybe you've been, instead of giving gracious, generously, you've been living selfishly. My life's all about me. Well, stop. You get one shot. What are you going to do with your life? Who's heard the gospel because you've told them? I'm just not in that place. The devil will keep telling you, you're not in that place. You're not in that place. You are not to be. And then God says, be witnesses to me. If you have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God, you are in that place. Maybe your light is dim and just barely flickering. Well, take that bushel off. Get that thing uncovered. That others may see your good works and glorify your Father. Make a commitment today. I want to finish well.